This is Father's Day, and my objective is here today to make you a stronger father, to make you a better father. That's God's blessing. That's His perfect part of our lives. This message will probably be counterculture. It's not a social accepted across the world today. Politically correct is the best word, but it's God's Word. Let me tell you something. The reason why God's Word and the social life doesn't always line up, because socially we get far away from God and we want God to join us, when really God wants to bring socially back to where He is in our lives. And we get upset when the preacher preaches on subjects that we don't like socially. You know, sin is a horrible thing. We look at America and we want to know what the terrorists and what causes all this, and our scientists and our doctors are trying to figure out why people do this thing. It's real simple. It's called sin. They don't want to mention it. They don't want to deal with sin. They want to play like it's not there, that it's something we can't control. But we're sinners, and we do some dumb stuff, and we need some help, and we need God's grace to be part of it. So on this Father's Day, I'm going to preach a message today that's not really politically correct, but it's doctrinally true. And I want you to enjoy that, because it's the truth, and the truth will set you free. God's always trying to help us to get better. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad He doesn't give up on us? In the last verse in the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, I'm going to read that just in a moment. We're going to be going to John 8, but I'm going to read that verse of Scripture to put it in perspective. In the book of Malachi, in the last chapter, in chapter 4 of Malachi, there's only six verses there, and he's talking about when God comes to the earth, at the second coming, when Jesus is born. And when Jesus is born and He comes to this world, He has a new testament, a new covenant He's going to bring. But He comes with a purpose. Let me read to you how He sums up the Old Testament and introduces us to the New Testament. In Malachi 4, verse 6, it says, "And He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come, strike the earth with a curse." He ends that era in the Old Covenant, turning the hearts of the father back to the children, and the children back to the father. There was such a decay of spiritual rim in their lives that there was no fathers leading. There wasn't no fathers taking hold of the situation. So he says, my goal and purpose when we begin the new covenant is to make fathers better fathers and children better children. That was the principle in the Old Testament. Now, just one more verse before I get to John chapter 8. In Luke chapter 1, verse 17, John the Baptist is born with a mission. And the mission is declared in verse 17. He says, John says, "And he will also go before him in the spirit of the power of Elijah." Elijah was a strong man. And John the Baptist wasn't no weak man coming on the scene. He's going to come in the power of Elijah. Listen to this. What's he coming for? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So when John comes to pave the way for Jesus to begin his ministry, he comes to pave the way to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and children back to the fathers. You got that? It's real important to get that. Because, guys, we're called fathers. And when Jesus teaches us to pray to our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, it isn't a coincidence. The game plan is we as the earthly father is to represent the heavenly father. In our position, our words will bring about a difference of lives. And so fathers were the one. Today, the children abuse across this land, when I read about it and study about it and become open to all the abuse of the children, where's the fathers? Where are the fathers in this land? What's going on? The thousands who are abused, the millions are killed, the things that go on in our land today. See, he's trying to protect the children. And how's he going to protect the children? Through the fathers. But the fathers are responsible to the children for God's sake. Amen? Isn't that a pretty good deal? That's God's plan. And so, it's not by coincidence that God begins to speak to us on Father's Day and to begin to grow us in the power of His might. Now, in my journey of life, I'm always adjusting. You know, I've been blessed to be a preacher for a long time and be a preacher on TV and radio for a long time. And I got sermons that I preached 20 years ago. And I listened to those sermons and I said, wow, I don't believe I said that. That was kind of crazy. You ought to have those sermons out there, all right? We're all adjusting. None of us got this down. None of us are there yet. Amen? And so we're not here to beat up fathers. We're here to be responsible fathers. We're here to, God, help us how to do that better and how we can be a part of what God's doing in our lives. So in John chapter 8, the message day is the power of the Father's words. There's nothing more powerful than God has given you, fathers, than your words. Your words are meaningful. They last forever. And no words, no power. The power of the Father's words. And so as we learn about that, and in John chapter 8, over in verse 12, Jesus speaks, I am the light of the world. He's talking to those Jews about, I am the light. You know the reason why he's the light? Because light always runs darkness out. And we always have darkness in our life. In our life, there's always darkness and bad spots and things we don't even see, things we don't even know. And so he says, I'm the light. I'm here to bring light to every dark subject in your life. And that's counterculture. Man, we're going to talk about social issues in our life that just seems to offend people. But the reason why we preach that, because when we're socially wrong, it not only offends people, it offends God, it offends your life. It makes you less than what God wants you to make. God planned for us to have the perfect will and the blessings of our life. And so He wants to strengthen us. He's not here to beat us up. He's here to strengthen us in a walk of our lives. And so as we look at all the statistics, there's no doubt about it. Men are the weakest link in the chain. When it comes to children, men are the weakest link in the chain. And the chain is no stronger than a weakest link. Man, we have absent dads all over the world. They're just not there. I've heard people tell me, ladies tell me, this is my child's daddy. I said, is your husband? No, he's not my husband. He's just my child's daddy. It's almost like we're breeding people so we can have children like we want them. Let me tell you something. When you get far away from God, it's a past their imagination how far we get away from God. Children have a daddy somewhere, or they wouldn't have a child. And it's our responsibility for every child that comes into our world under our watch to take care of that child. Let me tell you something. When God designed this, He didn't design the government to take care of your child. He designed you to take care of your child and you be a good government person. Amen? I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, independent, I don't give a big rip. I don't. But man, when we walk with God, it makes all the difference in the world. And so, He's trying to turn the light on. The Jews don't get it. Now listen to how He turns the light on in chapter 8, verse 28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, Jesus loved to present Himself whenever He presents Himself as the Son of Man. He's as much man as I am, but He's a God-man. He's God. He's God-man. I am the Son of Man. Then He will know that I am He, and that I do nothing by myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. In verse 29, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that pleases Him. As He spoke these words, many believed Him. Then Jesus said to these Jews who believed Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now Jesus is trying to say this. I've talked to My Father about everything that I do on this earth. My Father's words are My life. Now, the Trinity is so hard to comprehend. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all one, but yet separate identities. Here's how I try to handle this. The Father in heaven thought it. The Son on earth said it. And the Holy Spirit does it. All three, but one. And so Jesus says, everything I do, my Father gave me the words. I'm never on my own. To meet me is to meet the Father. My Father's words last forever. They ring out. I could do nothing without my Father's words. And I obey my Father's words. It's great to know what God does as He works in our lives. Now, according to the Word of God, men, we are the role model for our children to follow. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, let me turn there, and I want to establish a principle right here. In verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 5, one of the most unpolitically correct statements a preacher could ever make, but biblically true. Wives, submit to you, to your husbands, as the Lord said. Now, guys, if you're ever having a problem with your wife and you bring up that scripture, she has a right to kill you. Okay? That's usually taking it out of context. You know, now, the Bible says you're supposed to submit to me. Well, let me finish what the Bible says, okay? But the Bible says that. The Bible is the head. God put the man as the head. Listen to this. For the husband is the head of the wife, even also Christ is the head of the church, and He the Savior of the body. Now come down in verse 25. Husbands, you love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. He gave Himself for it. Now here's the deal, guys. Yes, I believe that we are in position. I'm no smarter than my wife. I'm no stronger than my wife. I'm no better than my wife. But I'm her husband. And God put me in the position as to be the husband of that wife and my children. But husbands, you are to love your wives like God loves the church. He died for it. There's not a woman in this world that wouldn't love to have a man like that. That would love me so much that you would die for me. To love our children so much you would die for them. Ladies, when you have a man like that, that's what God planned for you to have. A man who is the greatest lover of all lovers. He is the leader of the lovers of your life, of your children, of your marriage, of your relationship. And there's never a woman in this world who wouldn't mind being married to a man who loved them like that. It's beautiful when it's like that. But guys are missing it so many places. Saying I love you is not easy sometimes, but words matter. And so, guys, we are the ones that God put in responsible to be the head. Not the boss, not superior, and not better. But you got to have a leader. If you take off with five people and there's no leader, you don't know where you end up. Well, guys, it's your responsibility to know where your family will end up by the power of God's grace. We're the ones. So He wants us to be a part of all of that that goes on in our lives. Now, according to what God wants to do in our lives, He impacts the Father's words. Jesus spoke these words. The Father taught me. He says, I'm here to realize that in my Father's words. Words are remembered. I know in raising my children, I have a son, Jason, and daughter, Tanya. When Jason was little, I don't care how high the wall was, I say, jump, he just jumped. He trusted me and believed me. When those great days? Say amen. Those are great days when your kids believed everything you said and trusted you completely. Then they got into adolescence, and they believed nothing you said. They don't hardly trust you at all. You're an old fogey. You don't understand. But here's the key. One day your children will say what you said, if you said it. My son Jason, man, he would jump. Then he got to be an adolescent. And he didn't believe anything. We had a battle over everything. He just battled. I was talking to him. We was coming back from Williamsburg from our vacation yesterday, and my son and his family was going down to Florida. And we were talking on the phone. He was telling me about he was talking to Zach. Zach's my grandson, his son. He said, Dad, Zach's doing this and doing that. He said, I'm trying to tell him. And then he told me what he was trying to tell him. He told him everything I told him. That's what he's trying to do. He said, I just get him to remember that. I said, Jason, be patient here. Be patient. You just keep telling the right words because words matter. You just keep the right words because words matter. Jesus says, I come by the words of my Father. He spoke them to me. It became a blessing in our lives. So to have those words, he did nothing on himself. You know, if you go to middle school today and you talk to the kids, and in revivals, I do a lot of children things, revivals, and I've talked to hundreds of them. I ask them what the biggest fear they have in their life. You know what the biggest fear they have in their life is? I talk to Baptist kids in Baptist churches and all over America. They're afraid their mommy and daddy are going to get a divorce. That's the biggest fear these children have. It isn't right. That's where we are today. That's what happens. And my grandchildren have dealt with that issue with my son and his wife. Hardest days in my ministry. Nothing broke me anymore. Nothing. You couldn't hurt me no more. It hurt. But it happened. The best part of the story, we have grandchildren. We have family. And God can put things back together. There is life after divorce. Amen? And there is a grace that works forever. But loving your wife, loving your children is what this is all about, plus nothing. When you can get that down. The last thing he says in Malachi, let's put the dads and the children back together again. And he starts a new covenant, let's put the children back together again, because he knew the world would fall apart without fathers and children together. And that's where we are. And that's where we're broken. And that's the reason why we are trying our best. And let me tell you something. There's a song, A Cat in the Fiddle. I'm going to read that. I would love to sing it to you, but you're glad I'm going to read it. Father's words. Cat in the cradle. My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in an unusual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. He was talking before I knew it, and he grew up. He'd say, I'm going to be just like you, Dad. You know, I'm going to be just like you. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come, let's play. Can you teach me how to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away. But his smile never dimmed. It said, I'm going to be just like him one day. You know, I'm going to be just like him. And then to college just the other day. Went to college. So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the keys of the cars. So I'll see you later. And I know I'll be just like him. The cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. The little blue and the man in the moon. But when it comes to Dad, I don't know when. But I'll let him go together. You know I'll have a good time. And then, as long since I've retired, my son's moved away. I called him just the other day. He said, I'd like to see you. He said, I don't have time, Dad. I'm just like Dad. Every once in a while, when Jason racked up, my wife would look at me and say, be just like you, Ronald. He's so much like you. I loved it. I thought I wasn't that bad, but and then when Tanya messed up, honey, there it is. She's just like you. You know, we make a joke of that. It's more true than you realize. Our words that we say, it means so much. And so our words need to be said, and it needs to be a part of our lives, every day of our lives. A word to encourage. A word to empower, to affirm, to discipline. means so much. I remember my father as a pastor. His words, when he said them, I used to believe him. There was a time I didn't believe him. And now I say him. But I'm glad he told me what to say when I came back to my senses. James Dobson, Christian psychologist, focus on the family. He did a survey he wrote a book on bringing up boys and how boys need dads' words. He went to prison. He did an extensive research. He found that 95% of the men on death row hated their fathers. 95% of the men on death row hated their fathers. Several years later, Hallmark sent out greeting cards. They sent them to prisons on Mother's Day for all the prisoners, all the ladies to send a card to their mothers on Mother's Day, their father and the men. They ran out of cards. It was overwhelming how many sent mother's cards. James Dobson said, on Father's Day, they printed a lot more cards and they sent them to the prison. And not one card was sent. Not one card was sent from the prisoners to their fathers. Just like you, Dad. Just like you. Dads, our children need some words. They need right words. They need good words. Charlie Shedd, a Presbyterian minister, wrote a book entitled Servants, Dads, I Know. Quotes a famous psychologist that says, no little children will ever think more of God than they think of their father. There's a parallel. My children call me Father, and they pray to the Father. The Father on earth is to represent the Father in heaven. If they understand my love, my care, my being there, and we tell them about God's love and care and being there, they get it. We connect the dot. And let me just put it this way. I'm their father. Kathy cannot take my place. Kathy's their mother. And I could never take Kathy's place. And I believe our children need fathers and mothers. We're different. Kathy is totally different than me. In everything she sees, she's a girl. Big difference. Some people won't say there isn't, but there is. And I'm a guy. She can see so much better than me at times, and I can see so much better at her at times. And together, we can work out a plan to be like godly. Now, we're not perfect, but we need to speak the words to our children. Charlie wrote a little model speech to give to his children. This is how I wrote it. I wrote this down. He says, he had five children. He said, listen up, troops. When I'm the kind of father I should be, that's what God is like. Whenever in the Bible says that God, what God is like, a father understands, it means that God is a perfect God. You know that I'm not perfect, but I keep trying to be perfect. And I know I have a long way to go, but I want to be the best father I am and can be. You know, when I got older, I made a lot of mistakes as a pastor. I pastored church and I poured my heart, soul, and time 24/7. And I neglected my family. I sure did. I'd like to do that better. I'd like to go back and spend more time with my children. Would you? None of us have done this right. But learning how to speak words that protect our children means so much. My father, when he spoke words to me in ministry, my grandfather, when he spoke words to me, I'll never forget his words. His words coming back as power. I read the God's word, it comes back as power. It's our job as a father, the power of the Father's words. It's more than you can imagine.
Presbyterian preacher said he learned this from the book. Things to adjust to become better dads. Our quest for money. The Bible says you can't serve God and money at the same time. Be patient, fathers, it'll come. Don't neglect your family for money. You can't serve two masters. It's one or the other. How many believe that? Say amen. When I was 20, I loved Jesus. But I loved money more than I needed to. Can't serve two. He says, our quest for money, be patient. God will deliver it. It'll come. But don't engage your family. Number two, our quest for careers. Man, don't we want the career that the bright light, success, money and fame, and good? He says, remember Lot when Abraham gave him a choice. Which way will you go? Where did Lot go? He took the bright lights and the fame. Where did Lot end up? Be careful for your quest for your careers. Be careful for your quest for your careers. My son Jason, he's worked a job for 19 years. He's worked every other Sunday for 19 years. You know how many times I've prayed that he get a job that he didn't have to work every other Sunday. You know, I know my Bible says an ox gets in the ditch, you can get it out of the ditch, you know, on Sunday. The Bible says you can get the ox out of the ditch on Sunday. It's okay. I like what Billy Graham says. If the ox gets in the ditch every Sunday, get a new ox or fill the ditch in. But see, we got a culture today that Sundays is just another day. So I prayed for my son. I heard a few months ago he lost his job. I wasn't happy about that. But I was talking to him. He said, Dad, I got Sundays off now. I can get back to church. 19 years I prayed, Jason. Whatever it took. You got to lose your job. I'll feed you. But get back to church. You just don't know what the Father's words means at church. You can't overdo that. But see, that's not really culture today. It's a summer slump in a Baptist church on the summertime because everybody's busy. Isn't that terrible that we have a slump in the summer because everybody's busy when God runs the summer? Isn't it terrible? Last. Hey, dads, you know what your hobby is? Your children. Your hobby is your family. Making children strong by believing in them. By trusting them, by throwing the ball, by catching, by playing, by taking them to church, by spanking them. That's your hobby. You don't need another hobby when you're raising a family. That's it. Be careful about your quest for money. Be careful about your career. Be careful with your hobbies. When people believe in you, it makes a difference. I read this as I close. During the Civil War, a man named Roswell McIntyre deserted the United States Army. He was caught by his own people, brought before the court-martial, and condemned to be executed. McIntyre offered no defense for his actions. He only offered his shame and his plea that if he had another chance, he would not repeat that crime. His case was brought before President Abraham Lincoln. The President of the United States considered the case carefully, and he pardoned McIntyre. Today, the pardon signed by Abraham Lincoln can be seen in the National Archives. Across the face, it is written, taken from the body of Robert McIntyre at the Battle of Five Forks, Virginia, 1865. The Battle of Five Forks, Virginia was the last cavalry action in the Civil War. The man who had been condemned as a coward gave his life for his country because of someone's belief in him. The whole valuation of the person's life was changed. Someone is waiting today for your faith in them. They can experience not only your trust, but through your love and faith, they can experience the good news about God. Whoever you are, wherever you are, God believes in you. Every person He walks on the face of the earth needs to know that. That will trust His trust in you. Will you believe Him enough to take care of your children? It means all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. I remember when I started to preach, went to school and studied and did all the work and graduated and all the accolades that come. But at the end of that, my father walked up to me and said, "Ronald, you're a great son. Thank you. Speak his words. Speak his words." It was a lot more important than the degree I just got. To have a father that trusted me, enabled me to speak his words. Fathers, what are you teaching your children? What are you teaching your grandchildren? Kath and I just came from vacation. We had a 10-year-old grandchild. You know what I like about him? He believes everything we say. It's good. It's real good. I pray with him every night. I say, "Thank you, Grandpa, for praying for me." He said, "Grandpa, thank you for praying for my mother. Thank you for praying for Mom. Oh, I just got to pour into my grandson. Spend time." It's okay. The power of a father's words. What are your words? What are you saying? What are you doing? It's Father's Day. And fathers, in a few moments, we're going to have an invitation.